little different way, but I want you to turn with me to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And what I'm going to share tonight is something that came to my heart and was stirred in my heart in a time of prayer and calling out to God and just saying, God, what's it all about? Talk to me. And God stirred the following things that I'm going to share with you. This is our 49th year of being founders and pastors of this church. This is our third location, this location of necessity, because the other one blew away. And of course was virtually, well, it was destroyed by the tornado of 2000. I think we can learn a lesson from that time. Ultimately, it was not the tornado that destroyed our downtown property. And by the way, we were located exactly where Pier 1 is located now. And that's part of our prayer when we knew that our building could not continue there longer because it was gone. I said, God, in the selling of this property, let there be someone here that we'd never be ashamed of. That it wouldn't be a nightclub or a joint or, it could be anything. And I think that one of the most beautiful buildings in all of downtown Fort Worth has been built there. And, of course, that was Pier 1, and now it's Pier 1 and the energy company that share that property. And the man who was the CEO of Pier 1, Marvin Gerard, that man, they're Catholic. He and his wife are Catholics. In every stage of the development of that new property, he just said, I've got to have you, preacher. And I would come and pray a prayer of dedication up until the final, the little Christmas tree is the final one, isn't it? The little Christmas tree on top is, yeah, when they get the top floor done. And so three different times among people here from Europe and France and the architects and so on, God just let us pray over that property. And now we may have more than one employee, but Lori West is working there now, and she's our local representative. There's still a born-again, spirit-filled person who is working at Pier 1. And so, thank God, we're still there as far as representation is concerned. What a blessing it was that God has been with us all the way in all of this transition. I want to entitle the message that I want to share with you tonight as Personal Priorities for the Believer. They don't have to be. You don't have to do this. I'm not trying to put a list of something that you have to do to be born again. But these contain the truths of what it takes to go all the way. I didn't start to stop. When I turned my heart to the Lord and accepted the call into the ministry, I've given it everything that I've known how to give it. I don't do things halfway. When I'm committed to something, I'm all in the tank. I'm there. What I share with you comes from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 34 through verse 40. But when the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting Jesus and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, students, that would be like, what is the most important thing you've learned in your 2 years or your 1 year of Bible college? What is the one single most important truth that you have learned? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. The most important thing, ladies and gentlemen, of course, I'm speaking to born-again believers now, that you can do on planet Earth is to love the Lord our God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. It's more important than anything that you'll ever do is to love God with all of your heart, to love God more than anything or anyone. And Jesus said, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang or hinge all the law and the prophets. And so, first of all, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, strength, and so on. And then we're to love our neighbor as ourself. You know why so many people have trouble liking, much less loving, their neighbor? Because they don't feel good about themselves. And I've discovered in the many years that I've been in the ministry, hurting people hurt others. Jealous people hurt others. Bitter people hurt others. That's why you need to find out who you are and what you are in Christ and bury every negativism at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the blood of Jesus give you a new beginning in life. And if somebody's hurt you or life has given you a bad hand, just bury it in the name of Jesus and go forward. Don't cry over spilled milk, but rejoice that God is the strength of our life. So, to love our neighbor as ourself, on these two commandments, hang or hinge all the law of the prophets. Now, we've gone through many things over these years. I only reference that because it will encourage someone else. What you've been through, you'll always have an opportunity to encourage someone else by sharing that. Whatever has happened, the good, the better, the bad, the better, the best, you'll get a chance to share that in witnessing to others. There's a purpose for every Patmos in your life. John the Baptist on the Isle of Patmos, there was a purpose in his Patmos. There was a purpose in him being on the island of Patmos. And while he was there, instead of being bitter, he was better on the Lord's day. And God gave him the revelation of all the end time things that are coming to pass. Are you listening to me? On your worst day, God's giving you something that's going to help you and going to help others. In the midst of your mess, there's a message of hope and faith and love for others. Your mess is not in vain. The testing of your faith is not in vain. There's a purpose. Now, we'll just settle right in here and give it to you as best we can. Some personal priorities. First of all, I've already shared with you, to love God more than anyone or anything. Did you ever see a bumper sticker, I love my horse, or I love my dog, or, you know, they've had a rash of bumper stickers in times like that. Well, whatever it may be, but love God more than anyone or anything. Amen. Love God first. Love God best. Love God most. Love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with everything that is within you. There's no friend like Jesus. There's no friend like God. Love him. Trust him. Trust him with your life. Trust him with your present. Trust him with your future. You'll never go wrong. You'll always be glad you did. So first of all, to love God. A second priority is to know God. To know God. You say, well, how can we know God? Well, we assist you in that in Bible college. We help you to know who God is. Some people think that God's a bad God. Oral Roberts, who's gone on to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus, was, he stirred up religion when he came out and said, God is a good God and the devil is a bad devil. And I shout it from the housetops tonight. God is a good God. He's not a mean God, a bad God. He's a good God. Hallelujah. I said, God is a good God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So to know God. Now, what about this? God wants you to know him. In Philippians, Paul said that I may know him. Now, wait a minute. If Paul the Apostle, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, if Paul the Apostle, who had all the supernatural experiences that he had, is still saying that I may know him, it means that it's a lifelong pursuit to really know God. And as you read your Bible, you just keep knowing God. You just keep knowing him in a better way. Job, after his terrible thing that he went through, he said, now I know. Now I know. When Job lost everything, when he lost his family, when he lost his fortune, when he lost his health in a temporary period of time, and then he came out on the other side, he said, now I know. And you know, to be able to help others, you've got to go through some things. I want to say that again. To be able to help someone else, unfortunately, we go through a few things. I want to say that again. There's a purpose in your Patmos. There's a purpose in some of the trying times that you've been through. There's a purpose in the disappointments that you've faced. There's a purpose if you face it God's way. If we face it God's way, we'll have God's strength coming out of that. So, first priority of life that I share with you is to love God more than anything or anyone. Secondly, to know God, to know him better than you know anyone else. And thirdly, to please God. Now, I'm not talking about these things so you can go to heaven and not hell. I'm talking to you about, well, in fact, what I ministered this morning. God's given me a new way of saying something I've been trying to get a grip on for years. What the Word of God is all about is not to scare you into not going to hell or whatever, but it's to keep you from living in hell on your way to heaven. If you don't treat others right, you're going to face some hell on earth on your way to heaven. If you're mean-spirited, If you misuse, if you abuse others, you're going to go through some hell on this earth on your way to heaven. That's why the Word of God said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do right unto others. Tell the truth the first time when it doesn't seem like it matters. Be kind. It's amazing how many times and in how many places I remember when I was ministering over in England, and God spoke to my heart, and he said, buy the pastor 2 suits. And so we knew of a wholesale place, and we went to a wholesale place in London, and I bought the pastor 2 suits. He said, man, no one's ever come to preach for me and bought me a suit. I said, there's always a first time. When I got to the airport, those were the days when I always rode at the back of the bus. And if you ever fly, you know there's a difference in the front of the bus and the back of the bus. Distinct difference. And so I was waiting my turn in line to verify my ticket. And there were some people in front of me that were mean and ugly. They gave that clerk a hard time. They were just rude. You know, some people, I don't know what their deal is. They just think they have to be mean, mad, and whatever to everybody. And, oh boy, it was not a pleasant time. And I'll tell you what, that lady stood her ground, and they didn't get a thing they were trying to get, and they left just as frustrated as when they walked up. Unfortunately, they were Americans. When I got to that lady, and I really meant it with all my heart, I said, ma'am, I want to apologize to you. She said, well, you haven't done anything to me, sir. I said, yeah. I said, I'm an American. And these people that have been talking to you have been very kind, very rude, and very ugly to you. I said, I want to apologize for what has just happened. And she looked at me and she said, what do you need? And I said, well, I just come to see if there's any way I could get an upgrade to business class. And that's what the others wanted, but she looked at me and said, you got it. They didn't get it, but I got it. Now, I get on the airplane, and there's a little lady sitting in my seat knitting. And as I approached, she said, I'm not in your seat, am I? I said, well, let's look at here. Yeah, you're. She said, I've never flown before, and I feel comfortable in this seat, and I don't want to move, sir. I said, well, you're going to have to talk to the fly. She said, let me have your seat, sir. I said, well, I'm back in the back of the bus here. And so she called for the flight attendant. The flight attendant got ticked at me. She said, you're trying to calm this lady out of her seat. I said, no, ma'am, no. I said, she's in my seat, and we're talking here. We're negotiating. And before that deal was over, I didn't go to the back of the bus. I didn't get a seat in the business class. They put me up in first class all the way from London back to Dallas, Fort Worth Airport. Just because you were nice to somebody. Amen. Well, moving right along here. To please God, it pays to please God. Jesus said, I do always the things that please my Father. It pays to be a God pleaser. It pays to be a God pleaser, to love God, to please God. Fourthly, the fourth priority is to live clean and pure before God. I just want to encourage you tonight in the ministry. How could I say this? It pays to do the right thing. Joseph could have done anything he wanted to do and no one would have ever known. He was away from home. He had some opportunities. He's a young man. He's a red-blooded young man and a good-looking boss's wife came on to him. And Joseph didn't do it. He ran. He fled from temptation. And you know what? You say, well, he wasn't very smart. Oh, yeah, he was very, very wise. When he was in the pit, and then when he was tempted, do you know that when the story of Joseph progresses, he wound up being second in all the land? Because God saw the choices that he made. If my brothers threw me in a pit and tried to sell me for a slave, I think I'd be a little ticked at them, don't you? Don't you think if your family kidnapped you and put you in a pit and you know, gave you a heart, don't you think you'd be kind of bitter, kind of have a sour taste in your mouth? Somehow Joseph survived that and rose from the pit to the palace. And I'm telling you, when you do it God's way, when you trust in the Lord with all of your heart and you lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways you acknowledge him, you yada him, he will direct your paths. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God is the best travel agent you'll ever have. I know of ministers that would give anything to go to some of the places I've gone and preach the Word of God. But you know who sent me there? His name is God Almighty. And I'm best friends with God. And God saw something that he could use. And he's been a good God to live clean and pure before the Lord. It's so important to have clean hands and a pure heart. I know we live in a world that's full of a sewer. Hollywood is a sewer. Let me say it again. This world system is a sewer. The entertainment media, by and large, is a sewer. But did you know if you choose to do the right thing, God will bring you through? Well, let's move on. To obey God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what the prophet Samuel said to Saul. Saul said, I'll do it my way. No, you don't do it your way. You do it God's way. You do it God's way. And the prophet of God said to Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, two or three more here. You getting anything out of the word of God? To let nothing, no one, steal your faith in God. 1 Timothy 1:19, there are those that have turned from the ways of God and they've made shipwreck of their life. Don't let anyone steal your faith. We live in a world that's full of sarcasm. They think church is a joke and preachers are zeros, and they think you're a nut for being in some church somewhere and you give your money away. But we're the smart ones, because we found out if you serve God and if you accept God's Son Jesus as your personal Savior and you're on the God team, you're going to come out all right. You know, we discovered after a number of years being downtown, the tornado came. You know, we didn't have a gym. We didn't have a building for our Christian school. We were facing several million dollars if we'd followed the whole route, that we were going to have to borrow money and do this, that, and the other. But we said, no, we're going to trust God. When the tornado came, the news media said, don't you consider this to be hard luck, bad luck? Don't you consider this to be a dark omen? In fact, Pastor Nichols, don't you feel like quitting? I said, no, some way, somehow, because our trust is in God, God's going to bring us through and out of this thing, and we're going to come out stronger than we were before. In fact, I told the news media over and over again, I said, as it was with Job, so it will be with this church. You wait and see. We'll come out with twice as much. And when we got settled with insurance and when we made the transition and went through all, I know that some of you have heard the story, you wished I'd say something else, but you know what? Daniel couldn't forget the lion's den. Hebrew children couldn't forget the fiery furnace. Moses could never forget the parting of the Red Sea. And I can never forget what God's done for this church. We've seen God's miracles over and over again. Praise God. We came out with three times as much, not twice as much. A lot of people thought, well, in fact, a lot of people thought we'd quit. They thought we'd quit. They thought we'd quit Christian education. They thought we would quit our Bible school, Bible college now, as we have that status. They thought we'd quit as a church. But you know, there's one thing that characterizes this church. I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I figured out if you have faith in God and you don't quit, God's going to bring you through, and God's going to give you more than you ever thought you'd ever have. God will do it. The directors of this Bible school went through a very discouraging time and situation in their life, and it looked like their many years of faithfulness did not count at all. And there's times that Satan will come to you on a Monday morning or whatever it might be and say, serving God doesn't pay. Sacrifice doesn't pay. Doing the right thing, making the right decisions, putting God first, it really doesn't pay. But let me tell you, I have proven it beyond the shadow of a doubt, and so have so many of you in this room tonight. You put God first, and if God had to bankrupt heaven to bless you, God Almighty will bless you. He'll make a way. And God will see you through. Let no one, let nothing steal your faith in God. Got two more here, and then we'll be coming to the conclusion of this message. Another priority is to do and to finish all that God has called me to do. Paul said, I've fought a good fight, kept the faith. I finished. When Paul came to the end of his life, he wasn't a quitter. Paul was a finisher. Jesus said, I must do what I was born to do. He followed the same spirit that David had adopted when he faced Goliath. And he looked around to his his other brothers and whatever. He said, is there not a cause? Ladies and gentlemen, someone's got to stand up and call this nation back to spiritual revival. Someone has got to stand up and say, the answer to America is not politics alone or money or whatever. The answer to our nation is faith in God and a spirit of revival in this nation. It's what made us great to begin with way back when. To do and to finish all God has called us to do. John the 4th chapter verse 34, Jesus said, my meat is to do and to finish the work that God's called me to do. To do and finish. You know, we've pastored 49 years. I don't know how long God will lead us to do that. But you know, God just keeps telling me every year. I say, Lord, all you have to do, coach, is just tell me that's enough. But he said, no, you're not finished. You're not finished. There's much land yet to be possessed. There's much work yet to do. There's things that need to be done in this community and around the world. So we'll just keep going as long as coach says to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I've finished. I have finished. I have finished. Now, there's one more I want to give you, because the further I go, I used to have this up in a little earlier place in this line of this situation here. But it's to refuse to receive any spirit of offense or to pick up someone else's offense. Now, there's all kind of scripture I could give you for this, but you know, I say it like this. A spirit of offense is the legal drug of believers. You can do this and no one will condemn you for it, because, bless your heart, you deserve to be offended. I've had my share of bad deals. I've had my share of disappointments in people. We could all say the same thing. We've all been let down. We've all been disappointed. Did you ever trust a believer in a business deal? Someone said, well, they tell me they're doing business with a believer. I said, well, be sure you have a good lawyer. They said, but they're a believer. I said, get three lawyers. You think I'm kidding? Right is right. Law is, and legal are right. But you see, no matter what someone else does, I've had so many people said, boy, I'll tell you, when God blesses me and the church helped them and strengthened them and blessed them and our staff stood with them and we saw them through a difficult time, they said, when we come through this, we're going to bless the church. Yeah, they blessed the church. They disappeared. The last four people we've given a car to disappeared. It was a used car, right? But it was a car. It's better than what, they didn't have a car. But we blessed them with a car. So I've learned, whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus, then you won't be disappointed. A spirit of offense, because someone else is bitter or unhappy or offended, I get offended. It's kind of like the man that was going to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge, and they sent a man out to talk him out of it, and they both jumped. Don't pick up someone else's offense. Amen. Amen. To refuse any spirit of offense. Praise God. You know, I could stay here a long time, because it is such an important thing. But you know, here's the thing. You're born again. Your sins are forgiven. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. But there's some things that if you'll do them, they'll make the journey to be so much sweeter. They'll make you to be so much happier. You'll feel good about yourself, and you'll feel good about others. If you just do the right thing and keep an attitude. I call it, keep a PFA, a positive faith attitude. No matter what anyone else may do, no matter what anyone else may say, no matter what, you do right. You do the right thing. I used to have a book, I don't know, in the tornado and so on, we lost it, but it had a red red cover, red, beautiful red. And it was by Dr. Bob Jones, who was, I forget where his school was located. He's going to be with Jesus several years ago. But he wrote a book, and the title of that book was Do Right. I kept it up on the shelf just to remind me always, do right. Do the right thing. Do what you should do. Do what's right. Regardless of what anyone else may be doing, you do what's right. And God will bless you, and God will see you through. And that truth, along with these other truths, has held me strong for a long time. I was in Bible college, and there was an evangelist many years ago by the name of Evangelist Jack Coe, powerful man of God. In fact, he prayed for the sick. He not only won people to Jesus, but he had a 10,000 seat tent. And lo and behold, at the age of, was it 34, 35 years ago, years of age, he came down with polio before they had all the vaccines and everything. A healing evangelist came down with polio. We drove over to his memorial service from Waxahachie, Texas, to Dallas, Texas, 30 miles, whatever it is. And you know, young ministers, we have our heroes. And we have people that really inspire us. And just think of one of the most inspirational persons in your life that something happens. And so there was the memorial service. And I'll tell you, in our car driving back to Bible College, man, there was not one high note there. It was a bummer. In fact, we wondered how a healing evangelist could die. How could this man check out at 34, 35 years of age? We got back to Bible College, and something that was a lesson to me then and has been from that day until now. We had a prayer room in the men's dorm. So I got me a legal pad, I got me a prayer towel, and I got me a pen, my Bible. And I went down to the prayer room, and I said, I'm going to stay here until God gives me an answer. I'm disappointed. God, what's the deal? How could a man so greatly used of God die early? You know what God said to me? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. What? It's none of your business. And you know, you can waste the rest of your life being bummed out about something that's none of your business. In fact, I have a habit when something arises and Satan tries to rattle my thinking and discourage me, I say, that's none of my business. That's absolutely none of my business. I have a whole life to take care of. I have a ministry to pursue. That's none of my business. I'm going to keep my mind on the main thing. Keep my faith on the main thing. Not forget the main thing. Well, the ones that I've shared with you tonight, personal priorities. Lord, what are the most important things? Well, the most important thing you'll ever do is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Number two is, as I've given you tonight, to know God, to know Him personally. The Bible said, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Daniel 11:32. Thirdly, to please God. Fourthly, to live clean and pure before God. Number five, if I'm looking correctly, is to obey God. It's important. The number six would be to let nothing or no one steal my faith in God. Seven, if I read it correctly, is to do and to finish what God has called me to do. And finally, to refuse to receive any spirit of offense from anyone or anything. Folks, there's a world going to hell, and they need the Jesus that you and I know. Students, there are people in your life that desperately need God. The kingdom of God needs you. We've deposited 1 year or 2 years or however many years it took to bring you to where you are. But I want to encourage you. Now's not the time to quit. You may be through Bible school, but just say, I'm not retiring, I'm refiring. And I'm going to use what I've learned. I'm going to use the things that God has told me to make this to be a better world, to call people to be born again, to help see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father God, we bow before you tonight. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having a church that has a Bible college, that we can teach students, that we can reach up to students and we can teach them the things of God. I say to you, students, in the name of Jesus, you will not quit. You will not be discouraged. You will not turn back. You will not become sour, bitter, or disillusioned with life. You will not be offended yourself, nor pick up someone else's offense. But you will spend the rest of your life putting the things into practice that you've heard these great teachers sharing with you over this period of time. In the name of Jesus, with all of you, just put your hand on your forehead. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, deliver me from destructive thoughts and habits. Give me the courage, the faith, the love, the hope to stand up and to help my world know Jesus as never before. Oh, thank you, Father. Could I hear a shout of victory in the camp tonight? Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of the word tonight? We're not going to be lesser. We're going to be more fervent than ever before. We're going to keep on keeping on. Going to keep on teaching students the excellence of God Almighty. Well, they walk out. Is that officially? But not empty-handed. You walk out with your heart full and overflowing. Go for it. Give it all you've got. Give the devil what for. You'll never be sorry you serve Jesus. All right, students. Brother David.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
There will be a reception for all the students down this hall over here, and all the families are to welcome to come down there and greet them and have pictures or whatever. So you are dismissed. Hallelujah.